I want to start today with a number that honestly, it completely stopped me in my tracks.
Oh, yeah. Lay it on me.
Okay, so according to SperkToro's analysis of search behavior, and this is just from the early months of 2026, a staggering 68.01% of Google searches ended without a single click.
Wow. Yeah, that is massive.
Right. Think about that for a second. More than two-thirds of the time someone types a question into a search engine, they never actually visit a website at all.
They just get the answer and leave.
Exactly. And I mean, if you're a business owner or a creator or, a digital marketer, watching your website traffic just totally flatline despite pouring your soul into your content, well, that statistic explains exactly why.
It's the reality we're living in now.
So welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are entirely focused on this source material, an incredible guide from Skimizic Studios on what they call zero-click searches and how they are impacting SEO strategy.
It's a really comprehensive guide, too. Lots to unpack.
There really is. And our mission today is to figure out why website clicks are vanishing, even when your search visibility is soaring. And most importantly, how you can turn this terrifying sounding trend into a massive strategic advantage for your own projects.
Because it really can be an advantage if you play it right.
Yeah. So if you've been looking at your website analytics recently and wondering why your traffic just isn't growing despite your best efforts, I promise you're not alone. This deep dive is going to give you the exact playbook to understand this shift.
And I think it's important to set a really calm, analytical tone here from the start, because it feels like the ground is shifting beneath us, right?
Oh, totally.
The fundamental contract of the internet is basically being rewritten. The basic deal used to be, incredibly simple. You provide the information, the search engine provides the link to your site, and in exchange for that link, you get the visitor.
Right, the classic trade-off.
Exactly. But we have to set the record straight right off the bat. This is not a glitch in the matrix. Your analytics tracking isn't broken, and SEO hasn't suddenly just stopped working.
Which I think is everyone's first panic response, like, oh no, Google's broken.
Right. But it's not. We are witnessing an intentional evolution driven by AI overviews and these much richer, more aggressive search features. It is fundamentally changing how humans interact with information online.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand how to fix the problem, and I'm using heavy air quotes around problem, here we first need to look at what is actually happening on the screen.
Yeah, we have to look at the anatomy of the zero-click search.
Yeah, like what is actually stealing all those clicks directly on the search engine results page, or the SERP, as the industry calls it, because it's not just a single feature doing this.
No, not at all. It's an entire ecosystem of immediate answers
Right.
that are basically intercepting the user before they can even think about clicking a blue link.
So define that for us. What exactly are they seeing?
Well, the goal of the search engine is no longer just to be a card catalog. You
Yeah.
know, it wants to be the final destination.
The actual library itself.
Exactly. When you type in a query now, you are immediately met with AI overviews that are generating full paragraphs at the very top of the page.
Right?
And then below that, you see featured snippets pulling out bulleted lists. You have these people also ask drop-down boxes that expand endlessly if you keep clicking them.
Oh, those get me all the time. I click one and three more appear.
Yeah, it's endless. And on desktop, you have knowledge panels on the right side. You've got local packs with maps and business hours and interactive carousels. All of these surfaces are meticulously designed by the search engine to resolve the user's question instantly.
And the mechanism behind that, I mean, it makes total sense from a user experience standpoint. The search engines have one ultimate goal, which
Right.
is to provide the fastest, most relevant answer possible.
Right. They want to keep you happy, so you keep using their search engine.
Exactly. Like if I search, say, what is the ideal water temperature for a pour-over coffee? I really do not want to click into a blog and scroll past three long paragraphs about the author's transformative trip to a cafe in Milan just to find a number.
You just want the number.
I just want to see 205 degrees Fahrenheit in big, bold letters. That's it.
And that right there highlights the massive divide in how we need to treat query intent today. The intent behind the search dictates everything about whether you get a click or not.
So break that down for us.
Sure. So informational searches like your coffee temperature
Yeah.
or basic definitions, simple calculations, those are highly susceptible to zero-click outcomes. The user gets the number and they just close the tab.
Right, because their problem is solved.
Exactly. But commercial or transactional queries operate completely differently. If you search for Best Commercial Espresso Machine Under $2,000, an AI overview might give you a nice little summary, but you're still going to click.
Oh, for sure. I'm not dropping $2,000 based on a single AI paragraph.
Exactly. You need to compare specs. You want to read in-depth human reviews, figure out the warranties before you pull out your credit card. Traditional clicks are still very much alive when people need to dig deeper before spending money.
I love thinking about it with this analogy. It's like walking into a massive library and asking the librarian where to find a specific fact in an encyclopedia.
Okay, I like where this is going.
So in the old days, they'd hand you the giant book, point to the page, and you'd have to sit down and read it yourself. You had to do the work.
Right, you had to interact with the source material.
But now, instead of giving you the book, the librarian has already memorized it, and they just tell you the fact outright.
It's incredibly fast and convenient for you, the user.
Exactly. But, and here's the crux of it, if you are the person who spent months writing, fact-checking, and publishing that encyclopedia, you feel totally bypassed. I mean, you did all the heavy lifting, but the librarian gets all the credit for the quick answer.
It's a really frustrating position to be in as a creator. But we have to look at the underlying reality of that interaction. The search engine isn't necessarily trying to be malicious or steal your thunder.
It just feels that way.
It does, yeah. But it's really simply adapting to user behavior, which, as we know, always moves toward the path of least resistance.
Right. We're all inherently lazy online.
We are. The critical mechanism to understand here, though, is that the user is still finding your information. They are still moving along their decision-making process based on the exact expertise you provided.
They're just absorbing it directly from the search engine's interface rather than stepping foot onto your actual digital property.
Exactly.
Wait, hold on. If I have a limited marketing budget and I know that the search engine is going to keep the user on their interface, why on earth should I spend time and money writing an article for an informational search?
That is the big question.
Right. I mean, if I know mathematically it won't bring a single person to my website, aren't I just doing free labor for the AI? Why shouldn't I just exclusively write commercial content and ignore the informational stuff entirely?
That is the most common point of friction I see, and it's a completely logical reaction. You're thinking, why write this if I don't get the click?
Exactly. It feels like a waste of resources.
But abandoning informational content fundamentally misunderstands how modern brand authority is built in this new era.
Yeah.
SEO is not dead. Clicks just aren't the sole indicator of success anymore. Let's look at the actual mechanism of trust here.
Okay, lay it out for me.
When you earn that zero-click real estate, when the generative AI actually cites your website as the source for a complex definition, you are establishing deep subconscious credibility with that user.
Because my name is right there at the top.
Right. The AI doesn't just steal the text invisibly. It usually attaches a citation. People see your brand name positioned as the definitive answer by this highly authoritative system. You are building trust over time.
Ah, okay. So it's planting a seed.
Exactly. It's brand awareness. When that user transitions from purely gathering top-of-funnel information to finally being ready to make a commercial decision, they don't start from scratch.
Because they already know who I am.
Right. Your brand is already top of mind because you've been reliably answering their questions all along. So you haven't done free labor for the AI. You've actually used the AI's massive reach to distribute your expertise and build a relationship before the transaction ever happens.
I see. So we really have to separate simply being seen, our visibility from actual website visits, our traffic. And then we have to separate both of those from actual business impact, like leads, sales, or revenue.
Yes, that is the crucial distinction. There are three distinct pillars now: visibility, traffic, and business impact. And your strategy has to adapt based on what kind of query you are targeting.
The source material actually breaks this down with a really helpful query table.
Yeah, the Scopic Studios guide is great on this. Let's walk through it.
Yeah, so for those informational definitional queries we were just talking about, the zero-click impact is extremely high.
Right, so your strategy there isn't to trick people into clicking. It's to focus on building authority and providing the most concise explanations possible to win that snippet.
But then let's look at local queries. Like if someone searches for a plumber near me, the zero-click impact is still pretty high, right?
Very high. Moderate to high, easily. Because the Maps integration and the local pack give them the phone number, the hours, and the reviews immediately.
So they don't need to go to the plumber's website at all.
Exactly. So your strategy there shifts entirely. You shouldn't be obsessing over tweaking your website's homepage. You need to be optimizing your Google business profile. That is where the battle is won.
Makes sense. And then what if they are doing a simple comparison, like MailChimp versus ConvertKit?
So there, the zero-click impact is more moderate. The AI might summarize the high-level differences, but the user likely still wants to click to see pricing tables or, you know, specific feature breakdowns.
Right, it's a bigger decision.
So you have to create helpful comparison content that serves both the quick summary for the AI and the deep dive for the human who clicks through.
And finally, for branded navigational searches where they type in your exact company name, the source material says the zero-click impact is very low.
Because they actively want to go to your site. They're looking for you specifically.
So you just need to maintain accurate brand information and knowledge panels so the search engine doesn't get confused and send them somewhere else.
Precisely. Which really brings us to the actual mechanics of winning this game. We are moving from traditional search engine optimization, SEO, to GEO.
GEO, generative engine optimization.
Yes. You are no longer just optimizing for a dumb crawler that indexes keywords. You are optimizing for large language models, or LLMs, that are actively reading, synthesizing, and summarizing your content in real time.
Okay, so this is the playbook section. How do we actually capture this prime real estate? If I want my encyclopedia to be the one the librarian quotes, where do I even start? Do I have to rewrite my entire website from scratch?
Not at all. The most efficient way to start, according to the Scopic approach, is by looking at the data you already have. This is step one. Find opportunities.
Okay, what am I looking for?
You look for keywords in your analytics where you already have really high impressions, meaning a lot of people are seeing your link in the search results, mm-hmm. but you have very low clicks.
Ah, so that discrepancy tells you that users are getting their answer on the search page without needing to visit your site.
Exactly. They see you, they get the answer from the snippet, and they bounce. Those specific pages are your prime targets for a zero-click makeover.
Right. I don't need to guess. I already know what content is almost winning. But then I actually have to look at the search results, don't I, to see what the AI prefers.
Yes, that's step two. SCRP analysis. You have to perform active analysis. You type those target keywords into Google or Bing and see what the generative engine is currently showing.
Like, is the AI favoring a bulleted list, a comparative table, a short paragraph?
Exactly. If Google's AI overview is synthesizing a table to answer a question, and your article only has dense paragraphs of text, the LLM has to work way too hard to extract the data from your page.
It's just going to grab it from someone else who already made a table.
Right. You have to understand the format that is currently winning the space in order to give the AI exactly what it wants.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me, because the way we need to write now, it feels completely backward from the old days of the internet.
Oh, it's total reversal.
We used to write these long, winding blog posts where you had to scroll for 5 minutes just to find the recipe or the answer to a basic question. But now the source material says you have to use the inverted pyramid.
Step three, make content scannable.
Right. You have to give the concise summary away immediately at the very top of the page.
The inverted pyramid is absolutely non-negotiable in GEO.
Mm.
And we need to understand why LLMs require it. This isn't just about catering to short human attention spans.
It's for the machines.
Yes. LLMs are basically highly advanced pattern matching engines. When they scan a document to generate an answer, they are looking for semantic density and immediate relevance.
So if I bury the lead,
if the LLM has to parse through a massive wall of introductory text to find the core definition buried in paragraph 4, its confidence score in your page drops significantly. It will simply bypass you and move to a competitor's site that put the clear, concise definition in the very first sentence.
So you give the answer away immediately to win the snippet, and then you use the rest of the page to provide the deep context for the humans who actually do want to click and learn more.
Exactly. It's a dual-purpose structure. Answer first for the AI, depth second for the human.
And speaking of structures, LLMs apparently really love tables.
They do. Again, it comes down to how these models process data. A structured comparison table explicitly defines relationships between concepts. It reduces the LLM's risk of hallucinating or mixing up facts.
It's like serving the data on a silver platter.
If you provide a clean table, you are essentially spoon-feeding the AI the exact logic it needs to construct its overview.
This perfectly transitions into the more technical side of things, like schema markup. And I think the best way to understand schema markup is to think of it like a nutritional label on a box of cereal.
Oh, I like this analogy. Let's hear it.
So without a label, if I want to know if there's sugar in the cereal, I have to open the box, taste it, maybe take it to a lab, you know, and figure it out. It's a lot of work.
Right. It's ambiguous.
But a nutritional label explicitly tells me, There are 12 grams of sugar in a standardized format that I instantly understand. Schema markup is basically code you put on your website that does the exact same thing for search engines.
That is spot on.
Instead of making the AI read your whole page to figure out if it's a recipe or a product review or an FAQ, the schema explicitly labels it. It removes all the guesswork.
That is an excellent analogy. It's about providing absolute clarity to the machine. And that ties directly into another vital GEO concept from the playbook, entity clarity.
Entity clarity. What is an entity in this context?
An entity is just a distinct, well-defined thing. It could be a person, a place, a brand, a concept. In the AI era, you need to clearly associate your brand entity with your specific topic entity throughout your content.
Give me an example of that.
Sure. So if you sell running shoes, you want the LLM to build a really strong neural pathway between your brand name and the concept of marathon training. You do that through consistent terminology, citing authoritative sources, and, this is step four, building incredibly well-researched, trustworthy content.
Because the AI is evaluating trust now.
Exactly. As the generative engines get smarter, they're getting much better at sniffing out superficial, low-quality content. Trust is the baseline requirement.
Okay, so let's say a business does all of this. They overhaul their strategy. They format their content with the inverted pyramid. They add the tables. They implement the nutritional labels, the schema markup, and they clarify their brand entities.
You're doing everything right.
You know, start winning all these generative AI placements. The citations are rolling in. That sounds fantastic. But if I'm a marketing director, I still need to prove my return on investment to my boss, right?
Always. That never changes.
So how do we measure success when our primary metric, the click, is vanishing? If I'm not tracking clicks, I must have to look at the periphery. Am I tracking if people search my brand name more often? Because honestly, that feels incredibly hard to prove to an executive who just wants to see a graph of website visitors going straight up.
That is the ultimate challenge of this transition. If an organization only looks at traditional traffic metrics like click-through rates and sessions, they will think their marketing is failing when it's actually wildly successful.
What's the new dashboard look like?
We have to adopt an entirely new dashboard of success metrics that move beyond vanity numbers. You mentioned brand searches, and that is precisely where you start. Brand lift and branded search demand. Mm. If you are dominating the AI overviews for informational queries in your industry, you should see a corresponding uptick in people typing your exact company name directly into Google a week or a month later.
Which means we really need to understand assisted conversions.
Absolutely. Traditional analytics are dangerously biased toward the last click. You know, if someone buys software on Friday, the analytics credit whatever link they clicked right before buying on Friday.
Right. It ignores the whole journey leading up to that.
Exactly. But in a zero-click ecosystem, you need to track the entire user journey. Maybe that user searched a broader question on Monday, read an AI snippet that cited your brand, didn't click anything, but retained the trust.
So they learned about you without visiting you.
Right. Then on Wednesday, they saw a social media post. On Friday, they searched your name and bought. That Monday snippet assisted the conversion, even without a click.
It sounds a lot like traditional offline advertising. It's like SEO is acting a bit more like a highway billboard now.
Yes, that's a great way to look at it.
Because, you know, if you rent a billboard on a busy highway, you can't track exactly who drove past it, didn't pull over immediately, but then eventually walked into your store a week later. But you track overall brand lift in that region. You track foot traffic, and you track total revenue to prove to your boss that the billboard is working.
The billboard analogy works perfectly for the mindset shift. But I will add that digital is still highly trackable if you know where to look. It's not totally a black box.
Fair enough. Where do we look?
You just have to analyze the ecosystem rather than a linear point A to point B journey. For instance, you track snippet ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Are you actually the one occupying that space in the SRP? You track AI citations and mentions using specialized tools.
Oh, so you can see if the LLMs are quoting you.
Yes. And you look at local actions. How many people clicked get directions or call now directly from the search results without ever visiting your website? That's measurable.
And you also have to look at lead quality, right? Because maybe your overall traffic drops by 20%, but the people who are clicking through to your site are the ones doing deep commercial research.
Yes.
So your traffic goes down, but your conversion rate actually skyrockets because the AI filtered out all the people who just wanted a quick definition and were never going to buy anyway.
Exactly. The AI acts as a top-of-funnel filter, mm-hmm. which is why Bringing your internal teams together is no longer optional. This is step 6 from the playbook, breaking down silos.
Right, because marketing can't be fragmented anymore.
You cannot measure this ecosystem if your departments are in silos.
Yeah.
Your PR team might be driving brand mentions in major publications.
Yeah.
Your SEO team is structuring your site for the LLMs. Your content team is writing the inverted pyramids.
And it all blends together.
All of these efforts compound to boost that overall brand lift metric.
Yeah.
If they aren't looking at the same data, they won't realize how their work is interconnected.
So, if we synthesize all of this, the core lesson is that zero-click searches aren't destroying the value of search optimization. They are just maturing it.
That's a great way to put it.
The old playbook of tricking someone into clicking a link they didn't really need to visit, that's dead. Evolving your strategy to prioritize visibility, authority, and true business outcomes over mere traffic is really the only way you survive this transition.
The rules of engagement have changed, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But the reward for being the most trusted voice in your industry has never been higher.
So what does this all mean for you? We've talked about the mechanics of the search page, the strategies for formatting, and the new metrics you need to track. But I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over as you look at your own digital presence.
Let's hear it.
As AI gets exponentially better at instantly answering all of our basic informational questions directly on the search page, what happens to the websites themselves?
It's an existential question.
It really is. Because if a user doesn't need a website to discover simple facts anymore, does your website now need to become a highly premium interactive destination? I mean, if information is a commodity that the AI gives away for free, maybe your website needs to be an experience, a community, or, you know, a dynamic tool that an AI overview simply cannot replicate.
That is the exact horizon every digital creator needs to be looking toward right now.
A huge thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this gives you the confidence to rethink your own analytics dashboards, stop panicking over the flatlining traffic, and really embrace this new era of search visibility.
Remember, the clicks might be down, but the opportunities are still there.
Exactly. Remember, nearly 70% of searches might not result in a click, but the librarian is still handing out answers. Just make sure they are reading from your encyclopedia. Until next time.